And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program on a beautiful Tuesday in Brevard County, Florida. It is beautiful no matter what is going on outside, no matter what is going on in your life. It is beautiful when Jesus is on the throne of your life and is your Savior and Lord and is accompanying you through everything that you go through. So my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would like to invite you to our services. We're at the corner of Grove and Tangerine, and we are very, very thankful for all that God has done. We are now, Merit Assembly of God's been in existence for 74 years now. We're into our 75th year. 75th anniversary won't be until 2027, but that's 75 completed years. That means we're already well on our way, and so we're looking forward to all that God is doing, some exciting things happening, and would love for you to come and be a part of that. We exist to be a blessing, to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to our church, to be a blessing to our community, and it is in that order. We want to be a blessing spiritually and relationally and any other way that God enables us to do so. And one of the ways that we can be a blessing is by being here on the Refresh Radio program, proclaiming the Word of God, and we're praying that it makes a difference in your life, that we're one of the layers of your spiritual development. And so today we're going to be in John chapter 11. While you are turning there, we want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete. If you've got a concrete project that needs to be done, it might be a repair, it may be a new project, it might be a pad, a sidewalk, a driveway, whatever it may be, foundation, they have decades of experience, they have great expertise, and they have a fantastic work ethic. They can do everything from the removal to the preparation to the installation, the finishing, and the cleanup to get out of your way so that your project can move forward. They are a great resource for us at Merit Assembly of God. They've been a great resource for me personally, and they may be a great resource for you. 321-536-5804 to get in touch with Greg at JITS Concrete. We're thankful for believing in the Refresh Radio program, and we bless them in the name of Jesus. So today we're going to be in John chapter 11. We're talking today about practical applications of what a life of love as a follower of Jesus looks like. Remember, Jesus put love on display not just so it was a museum exhibit, but so that we could live in the same manner. And so we're going to be in John chapter 11. It's a very famous passage in the Bible. It is not just a story, not just an event. This was a very real life encounter. And John chapter 11, what I'm going to do is read down through verses 1 through 8. And then if we get to go further, we will do just that. So verse number 1, the Gospel of John says this. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? So we're going to start here with these verse these first eight verses, and then if we get to go further, we will do just that. So, again, there are specific individuals that are named. They're, the place that they live is named. Some of the events of their life are named. But the most important identifier is that they were loved by Jesus. They were very, very dear to him. Now, what one of the things that this story indicates is that just because we love Jesus, we've asked him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life, a lot of people think, well, that means nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. And that is not the lesson that we see here. What we see here is that many times, because we live in a fallen world and the number of our days has been established by God, that our steps are ordered of him, but because we live in a fallen world, many times bad things happen. And in this case, Lazarus got sick. And so there are many people say, well, if you love Jesus, if you have enough faith in him, nothing bad will ever happen to you. That does not stand up to the test of Scripture. I will tell you this, my problems do not get the last word. Jesus does. My problems don't get to define who I am or how I'm going to respond to a situation. Jesus is the one who is my identifier. He is my source. He is my strength. And he is the one that dictates the terms on how I'm going to respond. So when Lazarus gets sick, it is very serious. And they send word to Jesus. And the message is, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When we have God's type of love operating in us, that manifests in a way that says, look, when you are facing challenges, I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to come to where you are. Now, Martha and Mary, they have some mental challenges that they deal with in this story because Lazarus, share with you a little bit later in the story, Lazarus dies. And Martha and Mary are of the mindset that said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And I will tell you that the lack of physical awareness of the omnipresent God, that does not mean that he is unaware of what's going on. Jesus clearly demonstrates in this passage he was fully aware of what was going on, and he wasn't abandoning Lazarus because of his challenges. There are a lot of times when people are facing difficulties, and it's during those difficulties that many times people reveal that they do not have a godly type of love. They have a selfish type of love. And if life gets inconvenient, they just move on to someone else. I'm so thankful that God is not a God who abandons us. He loves us. He loves us during the good times, and he loves us during the challenging times. He loves us when we are feeling well, and he loves us when we are dealing with sickness or dealing with loss or dealing with financial setbacks. A lot of times the devil will come in with temptation and say, well, if God loved you, you would not be going through this. And I would say this, because Jesus loves me, I am going through this. I will not park out here. I will not camp out here. I will get through this because Jesus is with me. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides. He is the Lord who is present. He is the Lord who is my peace. He is love. He is love personified. And so our lesson that we can see right off here is that the love of God compels us to go through with other believers whatever challenging season they may be going through. So, verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Love, the love of God, looks at the situation and says, what's the end look like? What does the end look like? And for Jesus, he looked at it and he said, death isn't the way this story is going to end. Now, I can tell you that the Bible makes it very clear that because of the resurrection of Jesus, that there is a future resurrection for everybody. There's the resurrection of the righteous, and there's the resurrection of the wicked. The resurrection of the righteous will be for reward, and the resurrection of the wicked will be of one filled with consequence. You don't want to have a part of that. And so here Jesus looks at this and says, this is a person that I love. And because I love them, I know that the end result of this encounter, this season, is going to be that the Son of God will be glorified through it. So in a world where people abandon the people that they have declared their love to because of, you know, they're going through something, Jesus says, my love is of a higher standard than that. In a world where people say, well, loving you is inconvenient, Jesus said, look, I'm loving you through the difficult seasons because it is going to cause the glory of God to be seen to a greater degree. Give you a little bit of an example of that. And that's over in John chapter 12, one chapter later. It says, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not only for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. That's verse number 9. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. I think that's a great thing that the worst moment in Lazarus' life becomes the pivotal moment in his testimony that caused people to put their faith and trust in Jesus. I love the futility of the wisdom of, you know, ungodly, unscrupulous people. Their solution to Lazarus being raised from the dead was, well, let's just kill him. And I'm like, he was just raised from the dead. He had been dead for 4 days. The great news is the enemy does not control our timeline. God controls our timeline. So when you love somebody, love them in such a way that you want Jesus glorified throughout their entire journey. So my wife and I have been married for a long, long time. And on our wedding night, did not have much money. So there were, you know, a lot of nice hotels, and then there was the hotel that I could afford. And we were married, you know, where she was from, and then we were moving to an area where we were waiting for God to open ministry doors, and so started off very humorous, great intentions on my part, bad execution of the plan, and that was when I picked her up to carry her across the threshold, and I accidentally smashed her into the door frame. So not off to a great start there. But we had taken an oath that we were going to love one another till death do us part, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad times. We meant that, and when we got to the hotel, the very first thing that we did was we created an altar where we were, and we said, Lord, we want you to be glorified in our marriage from this day forward, not just at the start, but at the end, and everywhere in between, we want you to be glorified. A lot of people in this world confuse the goal as, well, I've got to be happy. And God's primary concern is that we be holy. A lot of people are looking for comfort. We talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago in our midweek Bible study. By the way, if you want to join us Wednesday nights at 7, we're going through the book of Exodus. And this is not just your typical recounting of the Bible story. This is real life application and some really serious subject matters that we discuss. And so if you'd like to come out and join us, that would be, you know, great. We produce a study guide. We have tables, we have chairs, we have pens. All we need is you. And we would invite you to come out, and hopefully it will be a blessing to your spiritual journey. So there are a lot of people who are looking for comfort, but the love of God says, look, we're in for covenant. And that means that everything that person goes through is everything I'm going through, that if they're grieving, I'm going to grieve with them. If they're rejoicing, I'm going to rejoice with them. And we want Jesus to be glorified. So that's what goes on in verse number 4. It says here again in verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, not everybody knew what was going on. There are people who say, well, if God loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. I want you to know that sounds theological. It's just bad theology. We live in a fallen world. The truth of the matter is this: God loves you. He loves me. He loves the world. That's why he sent Jesus. It doesn't mean that because Jesus loves me, I'm never going to experience difficult moments. It does mean that when I experience difficult moments, Jesus still loves me. I'm not going through it alone. I am going through it with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords living inside of my heart and in my life. And so there may be many people here in Brevard County. Maybe you stopped going to church because someone said, well, you must have had a faith problem, or because if you had had enough faith, you wouldn't be going through hard times. Listen, I don't know a person who's never been through a difficult season. And I will tell you this, many of the difficult seasons that I have gone through, knowing that God loved me, caused me to come out with my faith being stronger, not my faith being weaker. So, it says in verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? So, love is a motivating factor that drives us towards a person that we are have a godly love for. It causes us to move towards them, not to move away from them. Not only that, but it causes us to be willing to put ourselves at risk, even when there may be very real danger or harm that is a possibility. In fact, I tell people this, that if you love someone, there is going to be pain. When you love someone, the overwhelming majority of people who are in love with someone is either going to result in one loved one passing away before the other one, which does create a void in a person's life that will manifest itself in grief. Grief is not a punishment. Grief is evidence that you had a relationship, that you loved them. I've got a person that I grew up with, right? They are going through this right now. They had a loved one that passed away, and before that they had a different loved one that passed away. So they had a couple of tremendous losses during that same time. And as painful as that can be, grief is evidence of the love that was there. When my mother passed away many years ago, she had been at death's door a number of times and had just come back strong. And there was a person that said, hey, how's your mom doing? And I said, you know, she's doing well. And the person said, she's so tough, she's never going to die. That was said on a Sunday morning, and my mother passed away later that afternoon. And I spoke to my mother, you know, five to seven times a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, but most of the time I spoke to her 5 days a week and sometimes multiple times a day because I loved her. And great mom. But when she passed away, even though there were some moments that brought tears to my eyes, I wouldn't have brought her back from heaven for anything. She had physical challenges here that she will never experience in heaven. She had fought a good fight. She had lived the faith. She loved Jesus. And Jesus is I said this, my dad was the love of her life. Jesus was the love of her eternity. And if you love somebody, don't get stuck in the valley of sorrow. Jesus wants to take us through that. He wants to accompany us. Many people in life, when we're talking about love, is willing to take risk for the people that we love. Many people choose their safety, their happiness, their selfish goals rather than put themselves at risk. I can tell you this, love is arms wide open. And when you love someone, you may get wounded. But I will tell you this, Jesus put himself at risk for me, for you, and he died. But death didn't get the last word. He is the resurrection and the life, as we'll see later here in John chapter 11. And I will tell you this, you want to be doing life with people who will risk it all for you. And in the same manner, we should be willing to risk it all for them. I tell people, live in faith, but also live in wisdom. Those two things are not exclusive of one another. They are complementary to one another. And so I'm so thankful. You know, the disciples said, look, they sought to kill you. You're going there again. And when you realize that the thing that you're doing is going to result in Jesus being glorified, that is a risk that you're willing to take, because somebody needs to see Jesus. Like I said, over in John chapter 12, people believe in Jesus because of what Jesus did for Lazarus. Lazarus was a living, breathing, walking testimony of the miraculous power of God, that Jesus was the Son of God. It angered the Pharisees so much, they said, well, let's get rid of Jesus and let's get rid of Lazarus, because people are putting their faith in them. I'm here to tell you this. When Jesus is living in your heart and he says, do this, it may seem like a risk, but it's a risk worth taking, because it's going to result in Jesus being glorified. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.